today on Real Radio.
Jack, wait a minute. We're talking about missions here. We're talking about ministry here. And you said the word fun. You know what? Outside of the attacks from the enemy and all the things that are the hurting part of it, it's a lot of fun to serve the Lord. I certainly know this. It is not boring to be a Christian. If you're a Christian and it's boring, something's wrong.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Gospel Goes to the World, Part 1, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey begins in Jerusalem, but soon spreads to the Gentile world through the missionary work of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And like Paul, Barnabas was a Jew who became a Christian. In Acts chapter 12, we learned that the church in Jerusalem had hesitated too long in reaching out to the world. So God stirs up the church when the Jewish leaders oppose the gospel message. And with the threat of death or imprisonment for preaching salvation through Christ, the church is now forced to scatter to the other surrounding nations, and the Gentile city of Antioch becomes the new starting point of world evangelism. Today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that every work of God is a missions ministry. Still, we can expect opposition. Why? Because when the church operates under the power of the Holy Spirit, our enemy Satan will indeed not sit idle. But our biggest battles will bring our biggest blessings. And now, continuing in his lesson called The Gospel Goes to the World, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I got to tell you personally, privately in my life, don't tell a soul. This is between me and God and just you right now. When I am studying the Bible, God will not speak to me. He will not talk to me. And I'm not going to say it's a game because that's the wrong terminology. But when I'll go in there and I'll sit down and it's like I'm running really late. I open my Bible. Okay, God, we got to get ready for Sunday. Speak. I got my pen and I got my notebook. All right, go. Anytime, God, it'd be good with me. Absolutely nothing happens. Now, if you would have broken into the church yesterday or had a key and walked by my office, you would have heard a horrible sound. You would have heard what sounds like a cat being run over twice. And that was me in my office singing him songs in worship to him. Now, I know you don't appreciate it, but he really digs it. And he's told me he likes it. I don't appreciate it, but he likes it. It's then when I've spent time with him, and please don't take this wrong, but it's my time of making love with my God. If I run in and go, okay, come on, let's go. Speak to me. He won't talk. I got to sing to him a little bit. So I'm singing to the Lord, you know, and he's like, oh, wow. I'm going to talk to you. Let me talk to you. Let me tell you what's on my heart. A.W. Tozer wrote a book that says, God talks to the man who cares. And you got to sing to him. It's a love relationship, not a give me relationship. It's the way he is. How will the blessings come? We ministered to him. That's how they'll come. Look what happens in verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The word fasted means they forgot to eat. That's all it means. It wasn't hear ye, now it's time to fast. Oh no. The word means that they just kept right on worshiping the Lord. The sundial went right past noon, and they never stopped because they're having too much fun. Jack, wait a minute. We're talking about missions here. We're talking about ministry here, and you said the word fun. You know what? Outside of the attacks from the enemy and all the things that are the hurting part of it, it's a lot of fun to serve the Lord. I certainly know this. It is not boring to be a Christian. If you're a Christian and it's boring, something's wrong. As they ministered to him, the Holy Spirit said, and only people can speak. So if you're of a cultic background and think he's an it or a thing, its and things don't speak. People speak. Personalities speak. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the second person of the Trinity. It is the Lord, the third person, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It is the Lord. He thinks, he speaks, he feels. The book of Ezekiel tells us that God, the Holy Spirit, can be offended. Book of Acts, chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira did what? They told a lie and made the Holy Spirit, who they lied against, judge them. You look back in the days of the Exodus when the children of Israel were disobedient. The Bible says that they made angry the Holy Spirit and he turned and became their enemy. You can only make angry a personality, and the Holy Spirit is the Lord. And that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work, not a work, the work to which I have called them. And this is exciting. God wants to call you on a specific call. You want to say, Jack, I want to be used. Great. What do you want to do? I don't know. I thought you'd tell me. I'm not going to tell you. I'll give you some hints, but the answer's going to come out of your own mouth. What do you mean? Now, look, if we're in this church, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but there's a lot of people in here right now. You want to be used of God? I mean, you'd be silly to say no, especially if you're a believer. So let's assume we all raise our hand. Want to be used by God? You come up to me and say, I want to be used. And I'd say, okay, go for it. Okay, great. Go for what? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know what I want to do. Well, my next question is, because the first one is, what do you want to do? God works so supernaturally, naturally through you. You're looking for some big sign? Somebody give me a cartoon this week. God, I need a sign. And this big sign fell from the sky and it says, I am up here. And we're going, God, show me a sign. I'll do anything you want. Just tell me where to go. And God says, just get up and go. But God, I got to have a sign. Hey, there's no faith in signs. You got to step out. You know why his car has a steering wheel on it? It's not for when it's parked. Sit behind a wheel and try to turn the steering wheel on your car while it's parked. I mean, you can't turn that wheel. Start the engine and start going down the street while that car's moving and see how easy it is to turn the wheel? Because you're moving. You want to be led by God? Get up and do something. Oh, it can't be that simple. It is. We'll see how simple in a moment. Jesus is not going to man or pilot a ship that's tied to the dock. He's into ships that are on the sea. He's into people who are going places, not because they're upwardly mobile, not because they're the quintessential yuppie and I've got to conquer and be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. No. People who say, hey, God, just use me. And God says, good, go. Go where? What do you want to do? Second question is, if you don't know what you want to do, do you see any needs? Well, yeah, you know what? I see a real need in this area at this church or in that area of this church. That's it. God's talking to you. You come to me with an idea, chances are you're going to be the one doing it. Because God has showed you that this is what needs to be done. We need more graders. Great. What type, you know, can you be here next Sunday for a service or what? Third service? Second service? Well, I thought you'd maybe appoint someone. Okay, there you go. God works that simple. God is going to work through us that way. He's not going to write the thing in the sky. There's no faith in that. Dwight L. Moody, greatest evangelist in history. Dwight L. Moody, after 15 years of having converts, a 15-year follow-up, with his converts, 87% of them continued as a Christian in churches. Right now, with Billy Graham and Harvest Crusades, it's about 3%. It's tragic. Billy Graham's a little higher than that. Harvest Crusade hasn't had enough history to rack up much data. Dwight L. Moody, 87% retained after 15 years, those who accepted Christ. How'd he do it? And you know what? He said something that would make most pastors and deacon boards or whatever, totally upset. You know what he said? He said, hey, you know what I do? The moment they get saved, I put a bulletin in their hand. The moment they get saved, I use them as ushers the next night. You know, we've got a program. You got to fill this thing out. You got to stand on one foot, touch your nose. Can you really be an usher? You know, hey, the greatest evangelist in the world said, hey, you got born again. Praise the Lord, brother. Get up here and hand out those bulletins right now. Come over there and park those cars or whatever. He used them. And they grew and they stayed. And a lot of people cringe when you hear stuff like that. You can't do that. Well, you know, just take it from the greatest evangelist who ever lived. That's what he did. Ministry not to be a joy, though. It's something that's a blessing. So where will the blessings come? How will the blessings come? The third thing is, when will the blessings come? When will they come? Whenever the word of God is proclaimed, the results will be immediate for some and eternal for others. Listen to this. As they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to do. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. The Lord, first of all, take notice, selects. He's the one who does the calling. God appoints. That's the first thing that we need to realize as a healthy church. Second thing is that the church is to recognize the call. Yes, I see that God is calling you to be a pastor, or an evangelist, or a missionary, or an usher, or whatever it is. I recognize that call. The third thing is the Lord gets together with the church and sends the servants out. That's why when you go out, you want to make sure that you are, or you get things in the mail and they say, we are affiliated with such and so, because that's scriptural. Somebody goes out there on their own. God doesn't work that way. He uses this little trio, the calling upon the person, the church, the local body that they're in to send them out. And it's the Lord who uses the calling and the sending church to push them out of the nest, so to speak. And you can expect it whenever the word of God is being proclaimed in a church. If we are faithful teaching the word of God, people will grow up here and leave this place. Did you hear what I said? If we're faithful to the Bible, people will grow up here and leave this church. But Jack, I mean, people are going to get up and leave now. If God calls them to leave, hallelujah. I got an awesome phone call this week, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but this is precious. We're going to see here in a moment where Barnabas goes to Cyprus. Why did Barnabas go to Cyprus? It's where he was from. Cyprus was a dump, by the way. Had a great climate, but it was terribly pagan. If you were a young lady between the ages of 16 and 19, you had to serve those years as a temple prostitute to be a citizen in Cyprus, and it was a horrible thing. That was the worship of Venus, the goddess of love, worshiped there in Cyprus. Barnabas, that's his hometown. I got a phone call this week from a brother, Don, used to go here for a couple years. He told me a while back, I got to go, man, my heart, I got to go. Where are you going to go? I'm going to go back to my hometown. Well, where's that? Thousand Islands, New York. I don't know if you, I'd never heard of that place. Thousand Islands, New York, 18 miles south of the Canadian border. He's going to go home. Packs up his kids, packs up his wife, packs up everything, goes back there, haven't heard from him, get a phone call this week. How's it going? Great. Well, what's going on? We started a home fellowship. People are coming and they want to be a Calvary Chapel. What do we do? I had to pull him down to talk to him. He went back to his hometown. He's sharing the gospel first week. People come up. This is what we need. We got to have the word. We got all this stupid stuff floating around town here. We need the word. The people had enough sense to know that. He goes out. He's coaching the high school team there. Kids come up. Hey, we heard about the Bible study. Our parents are coming. We're coming next week. Can't wait to be there. God's moving. All he knew is, I've got to go home. And look what God's doing. Calvary Chapel getting started. Beautiful. God wants to move like that. He wants to bless. When the word of God goes out, he'll bless. Jesus said in Revelation 3:8, behold, I've set before you an open door that no one can shut. Paul elaborates on that in Romans chapter 8. He begins to tell you, and I say to you, Paul says, even principalities and powers and rulers of darkness will never be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's because the Lord is committed to the ministry that he wants to do through you. Why will the blessings come? Because the church, if it's a missionary church, a missions-minded ministry, is under the operation and the pastoral care of Jesus Christ and is glorifying to the Father, and it will comfort through that church not only the local body, but to wherever they go, because it's the Word. The ministry is based upon the Word. And every work of God, I don't care how deep the foundation is, I don't care how big the church steeple is, I don't care how many seats it sits, every work of God is a mission, is a missions ministry. Lisa and I were in Pastor Chuck's office in 1990, and we were talking to him about what's going on. Put his arms around us and he prayed for us. He asked God to go before us and bless the work in Chino Hills, and may God just glorify himself through it. Man, you're driving home from something like that and you begin to think, what's going on here? He prayed, asking God to bless, not to make it the littlest church in the world or the biggest church in the world, but that the Lord would be glorified in it. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus through the Word of God. The Lord calls. And the fourth thing is, why will blessings come? Why will they come? Founded upon his word. Now listen to this. In your notes, write down B. If the gospel is going to the world through us, then we can expect opposition. You can bank on it. Look at verse 4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached. They didn't lay around. They didn't get a hotel room or get their golf clubs out. They preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And John was with them also as an assistant. When the gospel goes to the world, you can expect opposition. Listen, we got 104 people signed up to go to Russia. Every one of those people on that list, God is going to allow them to be tried and tested before they leave. Quick, honey, quick, go erase my name off the list. Oh, don't wimp out. Trust the Lord. He's awesome. But he will make sure that when you get on that airplane, you're supposed to be on that airplane. It's so cool. When we get together next Sunday as we begin our prayer meetings, Father, in Jesus' name, only bring those who you want to be brought. Lord, only give the resources to those who you want to come. And you're going to see people, I've seen it time and time again, who don't have a dime, and they're hanging in there. They keep coming to every prayer meeting. And I got the little rouster. I mean, I know what's going on, and they don't have a dime. And somebody who doesn't even know them comes up to me and they say, you know what? Here's $5,000, or here's $2,000, or here's $1.50, or here's $500. I want that person to go to Russia. And that happens every time. Then there are those who have all the money in the world. And they're signed up and they're ready to go. And God says, not this time. Something happens. They can't go. And I don't know who's on the team until that plane lifts off the ground and the doors shut underneath the belly of that plane. Whenever God wants to move, you can expect opposition. I want to tell you personally, in my life, I have never in my life had the opposition and the trials and the warfare spiritually than on Russia trips. I don't understand it. It is absolutely hideous. Can't explain it. But the blessings outweigh the attack. And when you realize that the attack is coming from the enemy, who had to get permission from my father to begin with, it's all rigged. It's rigged. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. You know what it's like to get, you go out there and all of a sudden you set up, you got microphones set up and man, it's ready and you are in the spirit. If you're not, you're going to be dead. And you're standing there and you begin to preach or you begin to minister. And so many of you have been ministering, you're sharing with people and you lead your first person to Christ. And look out, because now we've got you know, evangelists all over the place. And the hard thing is trying to get them to go to sleep at night. Okay, calm down. You got to get up in the morning. I led my first person to the Lord. And then the next day, man, they wake up, they don't feel good or something's going on or it's snowing or who knows what. And it's awesome. The greatest blessing, the greatest opposition. And I'm not going to share any more with you than that because it's too much and I would start crying and then I'd start laughing and I'd be too wonderful. Expect opposition. I love this. Verse 4 says, being sent out, that's the divine call. That's God's business. Being sent out, you can write in your notes, that's God's business. Being sent out is God's business. Look what the next line is. They went down. God sent them out, they went down. That's the human side of the call. And I love this. Where did they go? Well, ultimately, they wound up in Cyprus. Why Cyprus? It's Barnabas' hometown. Why there? You know what happened? God said, through the Holy Spirit, through the elders that were there, you two guys go. Okay, great, we're going to go. Praise the Lord. Barnabas looks at Paul and says, where are we going? I don't know. I thought you knew where we're going. I don't know where we're going. I thought you knew where we're going. Doesn't matter where we go. Where do you want to go? Well, you know what? Barnabas says, I'd like to go to my hometown. Okay, well, you know, let's try that and see what happens. God opened the door and the rest is history. That's how God's going to work in your life. You turn down that street, make a right-hand turn. No, it's no big deal. It's a shortcut. God takes you right into a situation that he's going to use you and change the world in somebody's life. There's no accident in our lives.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Gospel Goes to the World, Part 1. Thanks for listening. And you know, if God is for us, who can be against us or separate us from his love? The Gospel Goes to the World, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, the Apostle Paul, who we've been introduced to in this Book of Acts series, poured his life into his letters to the first century churches. His love for Christ and Christ's love for the church were the inspiration for his writings. And God wanted Paul to write them so that even centuries later, we would be encouraged, enlightened, and strengthened in the Lord. Imagine if everyone back in the day who had been touched by Paul's powerful testimony and teachings had sent him a reply, even just a simple note or a few paragraphs of how much their lives had been changed through his deep love for Christ and because he shared the gospel message and his wisdom on spiritual things. And today, if you've been blessed by the teachings of Pastor Jack that he's shared on this broadcast or on his website, we'd love to hear from you. Pastor Jack's been so touched by the responses that he's already received. Here are just a few letters that listeners like you have sent in. I just want to say I appreciate your ministry. It's been a godsend. I found your ministry on YouTube while searching for prophecy teachings. Since then, I've found your website. My children and I love your teachings and play them all day long, one after another, as they help us understand the Bible and who we are in Christ. I must say, I've never been as close to God as I am right now, and my children are growing and understanding more of the Bible. Thank you for your service and for helping us grow closer to Jesus. That comes from Kenneth. Fran says, I listen every day to Pastor Jack on Sirius and then again on Real Radio through the Real Life app. I also love getting emails when the new video teachings are available. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you for sharing the gotquestions.org website today. I've been using that site for a while and recommend it often. It's a great go-to. Thanks, Fran. So a big thank you to those who've already written, and if you'd like to write to Pastor Jack and let him know how we're doing here at Real Radio, please don't hesitate to respond. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Contact tab. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and look for the tab that says Contact. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.